Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
You're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Yes. Making lots of art lately, I'll tell you what.
Yep. All right, encouraging people to participate in the Monday Hearts thing. Had someone write to me the other day wondering, wrote to me Monday and wondering where the show was. There's no show. We did a show to start it, but there's no show each week. You just stitch on hearts on Monday and heart designs or whatever, you know, stitch with your heart beating, however it works for you. And then you use the hashtag FT Monday Hearts. And then we get to see what everybody's stitching on. So that's all there is to it. There's no show to watch. There's nothing to do, no obligation, but looking forward to, we started to see a few hearts on Instagram Monday night, but looking forward to more. So
yeah, subscribe to the hashtag, follow the hashtag on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you'll see posts and.
Yep.
FT Monday Hearts, right?
Yep. That's what it is. Yep. Yeah. So you get to see Jennifer's,
Swan Wedding Sampler.
Yes. Pressure's on.
Doreen Jones. You know that I don't have that much left to do. The rest of it's pretty simple. Like the hard stuff, I did the hard stuff already.
Oh, okay.
Which was the swans and all, that was all the super detailed. Now it's just the, I've already gotten almost half of the top arch part done, and then I'll do the other one and then just the names in the middle and I'm done. Oh, well, there's a little bit of other, but I'm pretty much, it's not going to take forever.
When's the anniversary?
The 23rd of December.
Oh, time to burn.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially if I'm definitely working on it every Monday, you know?
Right.
Then I'll get it done.
Yep. Oh, yeah. A lot of time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because how long are we doing this for?
A while.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll definitely do it through your anniversary, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll have a finish.
Yeah, we'll have to celebrate the finish.
It's going to happen.
I want to get one of those hearts done. I'm working on Purple Mountain's Majesty, and Beth is working on Amber Waves of Grain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, plugging away at those. And it's like she and I both posted Monday night, and we're working on the background. So it's just like just rows and rows of tent stitches. I at least have the words in, so that's something.
But then when you get to layer on top, ooh, yeah. Imagine.
Yeah, yeah, that's when it's going to be cool. Yep.
Yep.
So, yeah, so those are great. And Gayanne, is, those hearts, she's going to have those in her sale coming up here later this month. So watch for those. She said she would offer them again.
And didn't she have one? I saw she posted that she's going to have an older one up for sale again.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a sale.
On Facebook or I think I saw it on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instagram.
I forget what it was. She's putting one up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's coming up. And then in preparation for her sale now, Wednesday night is Gayanne Rogers will be on the Stitch Hour, the Wednesday night Stitch Hour. With us, and we'll be introducing a new design.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So you want to be there. And the thing is, okay, it's a new design, and it's a big one, and it's impressive, like really impressive, and all those things. But there are other designs that go with it. It's not just a one-shot thing. There are other things that go with it. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Which I've neglected to share with you, but I will.
Oh.
But yeah, it's a multiple design package that she has going, and will be available in her sale, which I believe is the 15th of October.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll want to be in on that too. So join us 8:00 Eastern Time Wednesday night tonight on the YouTube channel, the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. Join us for the. For Gayanne Rogers and the big introduction. I learned something. You can use wetalkfiber.com/YouTube to get to our YouTube channel, wetalkfiber.com/YouTube. And that works, but I learned it does not work in Facebook.
Oh.
because it's yeah, because it's a redirect, so it goes basically to the FiberTalk site and then off to YouTube. And apparently, it won't work in Facebook. So I posted in a couple places, and when I I'll post again the actual link to the, you know, that long scrambled bunch of letters and numbers link to our channel. But you can just go to YouTube and just look up FiberTalk, or just put in your browser wetalkfiber.com/YouTube, and you'll get there. But
I mean, you're the only one that's FiberTalk whenever you search on YouTube, so you're not going to be hunting for other stuff. And
it's like, real easy. You know, it's like, thank you, Facebook. You know, way to make it easy. Come on.
Yeah.
Now, of course, if they owned YouTube, it would work. But So be sure and join us Wednesday night for all of that. It's going to be a lot of fun talking to Gann and seeing this new design, which is pretty impressive. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, the 11th, we start 7 weeks of FiberTalk Meditates. And so more coming up on that. But that's this Sunday, 2 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. We're going to do meditative things. Stitching, and you can get your kits from Avlia if you want DMC, and if you want Cosmo Thread, you can get from Kim at Sassy Jacks, and from Kim you can also get the Cosmo Thread FiberTalk colorway, which mine came in the mail. I'll be posting a picture on Instagram. Yeah, nice work,
yeah,
Kim.
Yeah, it's pretty. I saw. I think she did a Facebook post.
Yep.
And I saw it, and it was really pretty.
Yep. Nice work, Kim. Thank you.
I love blue. Blue was, for many, many years, blue was my favorite color, like baby blue.
Oh, I like the deep ones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I liked baby blue because it was the color of Princess Aurora's dress on Sleeping Beauty, which was my favorite Disney movie ever.
Okay.
And yeah, so when they always had the blue-pink fight, I always wanted it to be blue. And then now, whenever you buy Disney stuff, Princess Aurora is always dressed in a pink dress. And I'm like, it's supposed to be blue.
But pink sells better to girls.
Well, whatever. I'm with Meriwether. She looks better in the blue.
All right.
Anyway.
Let's start a fight right here.
That's right. But I, you know, I love pink. Like, pink is my new favorite color. But I still like Aurora better in the blue.
Okay. Noted.
Just saying.
Okay, we got it. So that's Monday or Sunday. Sunday at 2 o'clock, we're going to do meditative things. So just have your meditative stitching project. And by that, we mean a project that you can stitch without referring to the chart every 2 minutes. You can just put in a thread and go. You don't have to look at anything, but just stitch. And we'll have a little breathing exercises and some physical movement for reducing repetitive stress, and some quiet time and some conversation. So 7 weeks of that every Sunday at 2 o'clock all the way till the weekend before Thanksgiving. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Plus it's another project, you know, cause
well, I need this project though. Cause I need a footstool for the Sophie.
Yeah. So tell me about that footstool. I meant to ask you about that the last time. So is that an old footstool that you're recovering, or what are we doing?
Nope, I'm making it from scratch.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. So I went to Joann's and I got some foam, like chair foam. It's like for the cushions, and they're only, I think, 2 inches thick, but I'm going to use two together. So it'll make a 4-inch cushion. And then there's another layer of fluffier batting that's like an inch thick that I'm putting on top. I had found a video on recovering a footstool on YouTube, and it's an old Dutch lady, but she's speaking English, but her accent, she's Dutch, and I think so, and I think even her name. Anyway, so she shows how to do it, and I was like, oh yeah, nice. And so, and she had the foam and then the fluffy foam on top, and showed how to pull it around, and you staple it onto the board, and then I'm gonna buy it at Home Depot. You can buy furniture feet, like wooden furniture legs.
Okay.
You can buy the short ones that are, you know, from 2 inches to 3 inches, 4 inches, whatever the height you need. And then you can buy, have you ever looked on the bottom and it's got those little plates that the screws screw into?
Right.
That you attach the plates to the board.
Yep.
So, yeah. And I'm making it from scratch. That's what I'm doing.
So plywood as the base?
I'm not sure yet. I think what I will do is I will probably buy the feet, and you have to order them, and I'll have them ship them to my store, and then I'll go to the store and pick them up, and then I'll go find a guy in the store, and I'll be like, okay, this is what I'm doing, and I need a board for the bottom so these can screw in, and he'll help me, and they'll cut it to size, and they'll be good. That's my plan.
And how big? 8 inches long?
It's going to be 12 by 15.
12. Oh, so a good sized one then.
Yeah, because she is using right now a Rubbermaid rubber footstool that has a piece of something that I knit on top of it so she can jump up and down. And the size of it's 12 by 15, and that's working out for her. And also, our living room's small, so it can't be much bigger. But it also can't be much smaller because then she'll hit her face on the sofa, which I'm trying to avoid. So
good, good. That's humanitarian effort there. Yeah.
Yes. So we're trying to avoid the Sophie hurting herself.
And now the guarantee that she'll actually use it is.
Oh, she'll use it because we do have like upstairs for the beds in the bedroom. We do have a larger footstool that I bought from Target. That she does, and the beds are taller and there's more room. So she does jump up on the footstool onto the bed.
Oh, okay.
And she jumps up on this one here onto the sofa too. And it'll be firm enough. It won't be like super squishy and bouncy. So.
Okay.
She'll use it, and I'll just train her to use it. She'll use it. Because there's nowhere else for her to jump up. Our living room's small, so that's okay. Her spot. It's the only way to get to her spot.
I see. Okay.
Because that's her spot. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So we're going to have the Avlia basket weave design on this stool then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And I plotted it out, and I have my fabric. I've got everything. I just need to go to Home Depot and buy the hanger bolts to put into the end of the dowel rods and wing nuts. And, I need to buy a staple gun that does the 3/8 inch staples.
Yeah.
Instead of the big ones, the smaller ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I can staple. I bought 1 inch twill tape. So I can staple my twill tape onto the dowel rod so that I can then sew my Ada onto the twill tape on each end to make my stretcher bars.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they're going to be 33 inches long because I need a 30 inch long piece of fabric, 30 by 27.
All right. This is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you have a good pattern, a good design to put on top. There's no doubt.
Yes. And it's really pretty. And I like the colors I have. And I think it's going to look really good.
Yep. It'll be fun to watch this come together.
Yeah. And there have been many times lately where I'm like, I wish I had it together already so I could stitch on it, because I wanted to stitch on something that I want my hands to be moving and stitching, but I don't want to look at a chart. I don't want to do any of that. I just want to zone out and stitch, though, you know?
Right.
And I've been wishing I've had it together, but I haven't had it together because I've got to get my act together.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering if how many people are going to discover that meditative stitching is really addicting.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be interesting, because now we're starting to get into that knitting world where, you know, knitters just sit there, just
kind of
needles,
yeah.
You know, needles just move and they never look down. They never, you know, they have a conversation, watch TV, whatever, and never look down. It always amazes me. And so, you start to think about, all right, I mean, obviously you got to look down to stitch. But you're not looking at a chart, so you're just going.
Right. Yeah, I could get that way with crochet and some knitting. You know, if it's a easy enough pattern to memorize, just like this, it's a simple little pattern to memorize that you just have it in your head and you can just go.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, if I start an afghan, a crochet or knit, I don't have to look at the chart except for maybe occasionally.
Right.
But you just have the pattern in your head and you can just look at your work and see the pattern, and you don't even have to refer to the instructions.
Yeah. So it's going to be,
going.
That's going to be interesting just to experience this because I've never done anything like this.
Oh, okay.
No, never. Always something you have to look at the chart every.
Right. Yeah. Well, this brocade part on this Dawn to Dusk is very meditative in that way.
Yeah.
Because each section individually is very simple and easy. And you just do the same thing across the space. It's got that whole I don't even get out my instructions to look. I'm just like.
Just go.
It's very, very simple.
And can I just take a moment to gush not only over the design, but over your design and your stitching. Every time you put a picture up, man, that thing is just gorgeous. It's just beautiful.
Thank you. It's fun.
You know, and we talked about more than once doing the brocade part, the fill-in part, mm-hmm. as you go because it takes time and it's, you know, and we really, I think, basically labeled it like basket weave needlepoint, just, you know, mindless filling in. But mm-hmm. this, watching you stitch this thing, it's almost as beautiful as the various motifs.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff that is beautiful.
Even more so, you know, it's the way it comes together and the way you can see, especially between step two to step three. Step three changes the squares. It's basically a grid, changes it and makes it circular mm-hmm. and adds curves and changes the entire look. It's amazing.
It's like
magic.
Yeah, really.
Wow,
it's
look
gorgeous.
At the magic that's happening.
Yeah, as you put those together, it's like, holy smokes, it's beautiful. So now how many mm-hmm. layers in this brocade are there?
There's four. There's four. The bead layer comes next. And the bead layer is super simple. And she says you just, you do like kind of cross stitch. You go one direction and do one half of the cross and put the bead on. And then go across the other way and do the other cross through the bead.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go back and forth. So easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I've learned, was told to do beads is to basically do a cross stitch through them because that'll lock them down and keep them from getting flimsy and twisting mm-hmm. them, and they'll all go the same way.
Yeah, depending on how they lay and how you want them to lay. And like the other beading on here, I only did through one way, but the way she has the beads looking in the chart, they sit in the divot, the hole. They mm-hmm. like sit in the hole. And they only sit one way, so I only did one layer of thread through them.
Oh, okay.
Just going one way, yeah.
Because there was nowhere for them to go.
Yeah, these ones look, they sit differently, and they're going to sit on top of the cross where where the threads actually cross. So because they're going to sit up there, it's like sitting on the top of a hill.
Yeah.
They're going to bobble around, so you've got to anchor them down.
Right. Right.
Whereas these other ones, they sit in the divot.
Yeah. Okay.
Like in the well where the lake is, they sit down in there instead of on the top of the hill.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who have not seen it, we're talking about Karen Dudzinski, Textured Treasures, From Dawn to Dusk, which we're doing a stitch along on. And in the video, the YouTube video, and then on the page for this podcast, I'll put a couple of photos of Jennifer's work so you can see what we're talking about. And if you're interested in the thing, Textured Treasures is the Karen Dudzinski. That's where you can get a kit. And then there's a Facebook group for this particular design, From Dawn to Dusk.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see all kinds of things. And in there you can see Karen is stitching the colorway she put together, the Fiber Talk colorway, which is blue.
Oh, and, it's so beautiful.
Man, I'll tell you, that's really outstanding, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is just amazing.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Then other people have done even other colorways, and you can find those in the group too. Because you can make up you can buy the pattern and make up your own colorway.
Right.
I feel that adventurous.
Yeah,
she's got a lot of colorways, so.
Right. Yeah, she is. There's six now, I think, right?
Or seven?
Six or seven?
Seven with the Fiber Talk?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
But yeah, so there's plenty to choose from. But yeah, I've chewed up a couple of hours going through that group, seeing what other people have done. And it's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I am so glad that I got I want way back whenever you showed it at market, I was like, oh my gosh, I love that, and I wanted it instantly. But then I was like, no, you've got so many projects, no. And I didn't, and I didn't, and then when you guys talked about doing the stitch along, I almost bought it then. I was like, no. But then I was going to start coming on here, and I'm like, okay, now I have to. Like, now there's no excuse. It gave me total permission to totally do this, and I'm thrilled. Okay. Yeah, so thank you.
Hey, no problem. No problem. Yeah, now you're actually into it, and it's beautiful. Wow. Oh,
yeah, it is fun.
So impressive, yep.
I can't wait to get to the beads. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I want to get the beads on this brocade section because, oh, it's going to be just so beautiful.
Yeah, it'll be the little crown jewels on every one of those. Yep.
I know. And then what's fun is then I'll do the other three motifs that come next. And then when I get to the next section, it'll be like my resting time.
Yeah.
Because I've already done it. I know how. It's simple. Stage two goes real fast. Mm-hmm. It's the part that... It's the black stitches because it basically matches the color of the canvas.
Oh, okay.
So that part went real fast. And this part three's taken longer because you have to go around each one of those one, you go four times.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm not going all the way around. I'm going row by row kind of. So I'm doing the top half, then the bottom half, and the top half.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
it's gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. Yep.
Yeah.
And thanks. Yeah, I encourage people to check out Textured Treasures because her designs, she has several of them that are all really very nice. Very nice. If you want to do counted canvas work, that's a place to go. No question.
Yep. And this is my first time and it's not that hard.
Right into the deep end and it's not that hard. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention, when you if you're looking at meditative stitching, the basket weave kits available at avlia.life. Krista has put together, you can get, what is it, the kit, the full kit with Makini 30-count cloth, DMC floss, the whole thing for a 9x9 mat for $28, and that includes shipping. And then if you just want the thread pack, then it's $18. So I forgot to mention that. So at avlia.life, right. And then go to sassyjackstitchery.com. And I'm not sure where Kim has that, but she has the Cosmo thread packs put together. Yeah. So that just, I forgot to mention that. Yep.
Right. Yeah. And the floss pack has free shipping too, it says.
Yes. Correct. So that's pretty cheap too.
Everybody likes free shipping.
Yeah. But $28 for a full kit with free shipping to do the meditative stitching. That's pretty good. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Let's see. What else we got? The 14th, Wednesday the 14th, is another tour with the Embroiderers Guild Galleries in Sydney, Australia. Jillian Benke is the artist. And so that'll be the 14th on our Wednesday show. So be sure and check that out. Yes. So, I'm doing the hearts. I got so many things going that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm doing the heart, the Gay Ann Rogers hearts, and then I think for a short while here I'm going to work on Hannah Longstreth.
Mm-hmm.
And because I started another motif, so I'm going to finish a motif and then go back to needle pointing. I really want to get that Hannah Longstreth done because I really like it. And I'm trotting along pretty well on it. So
nice.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
It's so weird, though, going from 18 point needle point canvas to 40 count linen. It's just.
Yeah.
What is this stuff? Yeah.
A lot of mine I'm jumping around too. I'm doing 1/1 on that 25 count Lugana. And then I've got the needle point, and then I'm doing on Pandemic, I'm doing 18 count Ada, one over one. And then I'm doing the, got that little, the sunflower in the boot, the witch's boot.
Yes.
That's 1/1 on 28 count. So I'm doing all over the place too. And then when I need a break from some small cross-stitch wise, go and I get something like one of my cottages or something that's on 28 count over two.
Oh, okay. Piece of cake
so it's
there.
Not so taxing. Exactly.
Your eyes are going, like, stop ginormous. It.
Yeah, I have to use magnifiers for all the over one stuff.
Yeah.
But on the 18 count, I don't need to use the magnifiers.
Hmm.
So that's nice.
Yeah, I don't even, I just use the magnifier. Yeah.
Oh, no matter what.
Yeah, just easier. I was using, we were away last week, and so I had the Gay Ann Rogers Heart with me, and I was using the Case Creation lap, the Z lap stand, and that was working really well with my little tabletop magnifier. That yeah, I got that. I was I forgot to take a picture, but I thought, boy, I'm really completely mobile because I have the Halo battery pack. So I had the magnifier plugged into that for power.
Mm-hmm.
And then that next to sitting on a table next to the stand with the piece in it, and it worked out really well. I had to go to the power. I was glad I brought it because we rented a house with our daughter and son-in-law and our two grandsons who are 5 and 3. And I had my magnifier plugged into the wall behind me, and I was stitching while they were out doing something, and they came back in, and the three-year-old almost, you know, he comes running through and almost tripped over the cord, and I stopped him just in time.
Oh boy! Yeah.
And then the next day, I forget, they had gone somewhere, and so we let him go and let him go. Yeah, they went somewhere to, I forget what they were doing. We were doing something else.
Right.
And the five-year-old comes in. What are you doing? What are you doing? He comes running around, and I didn't catch him in time. He grabbed that. He snagged that cord and yanked the whole thing right on the floor. So
I
better get the battery out here. I'm not going to have a magnifier.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they don't mean it. They don't know.
Oh, no, because they're just so exuberant.
Yeah.
They just see directly in front of them, and they don't see all around. That's
right.
Why
right.
You child-proof things, because.
Yep. So I was glad to have that battery.
Puppy. Little puppies and kitties running around.
Yep.
Just having fun.
Yep.
Not looking where they're going.
Exactly. So, and speaking of the hearts and finishing, because you want to, well, any of these things you want to finish eventually, but I was thinking about finishing them. And you bought a book on needlepoint finishing. What is that book?
Yeah. So on Facebook, I had, you know, posted something, and Cindy Baldwin had sent me a message about this book called The Needlepoint Ornament Finishing Book by Eleanor McNish. And she has an Etsy shop. What's that? Eleanor MacMac or Ellie MacMac is her Etsy? Jeez. I sent you
right.
a thing. And,
that sounds yeah. right, yeah.
But I'm sure you can just find it if you look it up. But I bought the digital book. You can also buy a physical book, but I wanted it right away, and it was $12. And it shows.
You're so American. I want it now.
But, yeah. And plus, you know, it's nice to have it on my iPad or in my phone. I saved it into books so that I don't have to go hunting for the book. You know, I know where it's at.
Yep.
So, but But yeah, I got that, and it shows how to finish like a circular needlepoint into, and it's supposed to look like an ornament. And it has a front and a back, and then even at the top, it has a little cuff, like the little ornament. You know how on the top of your glass ornament, it's got that little cap?
Yeah.
It even has one of those little cappies and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cute, and she has really great tips on like exactly what tools to use. What she uses, exactly the name brand, where she got it, how to use the high temp hot glue gun, and how not all glue sticks are the same, that you should buy this brand that she mentions, and how to search for it online for like her 50 point cardstock for the cardboard inside.
Okay.
She even says how to search for that on Amazon, what the brand is. And lots of good tips on how to use your glue gun and how to use like even the side of the point of the glue gun, the side, to smooth out the glue or even to kind of remelt it and be able to reposition stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, and she shows you how to use parchment paper or part of a silicone baking mat to press, because, you know, hot glue is hot and it's going to burn your fingers. Well, she shows you how to press it with the, you know, using parchment paper, like wax paper.
Yeah.
Or the silicone mat, a piece of silicone mat, so that you can get it nice and flat and it doesn't have that big glue gun bubble. And also with the silicone mat, it makes the glue shiny. So you don't have that dull looking shiny glue showing, you know? Yeah. And, you know, if you use a bunch of those sparkly trims for your Christmas ornaments, it blends into the sparkly trim because it's shiny as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then also she had good tips on for your fabric for the back of the ornament. She had lots of good tips on using like napkins or placemats from places like Home Goods or TJ Maxx or something. You can get, you know, Christmas napkins or any kind of curtain fabric, you know, for like, like if you have scraps of upholstery fabric or something.
Oh, so like a heavier cloth.
Yeah. Yeah. She suggests using something heavier for the backing and how you can, you know, get it. You don't have to buy it from a fabric off a bolt. You can use part of a placemat or a napkin or curtains.
Well, that's a good idea. Now, I, immediately when you say placemat, I'm thinking, well, that will give you a nice cushiony quilted back too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a woven or, I mean, there's so many kinds.
Hmm.
Yeah. So she has tips. She shows you how to do the batting. I mean, she shows you how to do all of it. It's really, really good. I read through the whole thing and, but you know, if you want to know all the tricks and stuff, you have to buy the book.
Of course.
Sorry.
Well, see, and that's interesting because obviously with a hot glue gun, we're not talking archival finishing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
but I think that's an interesting question.
But it doesn't touch the front of your needlepoint. It only touches, you know, you cut a circle around that's bigger, so it uses the background part. So the front that you actually needlepointed on is not getting glued on.
Right.
So, I mean, that's how a lot of people do cross stitch too.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it just raises the question, does it matter?
I don't think so. I mean, you know.
For most things, does it really matter? I don't know. Does it?
Anything that's really archival or something, isn't it usually bigger pieces that you frame special? And
yeah, I think.
I mean, I've had stuff that I made way back in the day. You know, I've been doing this for 26 years or so. And I've got pieces that I put on sticky board and they still look perfectly good. I've even taken it off the sticky board, washed it, ironed it, and put it back on the sticky board. It looks fine.
Hmm. Okay.
So,
yeah.
I've had no problems there.
Yeah, and I just, it makes me think, and the question, does it matter? Because at some point, yeah, you make a decision. Do I want this piece laced and finished archivally because it's an heirloom caliber thing. Mm-hmm. But then, these other pieces over here, I just want them finished. I just want them finished. I want to hang them up or decorate the house in some way.
Yeah.
Put them in a bowl. And at some point down the road, if they get thrown away, it really doesn't matter. Well, then in that case, you know, get out the hot glue gun and have at it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you spend all this time. You don't want it to just sit in a box under the bed.
Right.
You want it out and being used. And especially if you're giving it away, you can't control what happens to that thing after you give it away.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, now see, and there's another factor too. Giving as gifts, something that I'm not a fan of doing.
I'm very selective now.
Yeah.
Who's worthy?
Are you
worthy or not?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But even there, giving as gifts, you know, finishing is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So for something like that, you can do without the expense, get a really nice job, give a nice gift. And then if it gets tossed, it's not like you spent $100 getting it finished.
I know, that's great. I mean, I'm just such a do-it-yourselfer that spending that kind of money for somebody else to do something that I can do is just crazy to me. But that's just because I can do it.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And what you really need to do is just, she even says, get a piece of scrap that you haven't even done anything on with, draw something on it with a pen or whatever, and practice so that you aren't doing it on something that you care about.
Yeah.
And once you've done it once, a lot of the fear goes away, and then you're like, oh, I've got this.
Yeah.
You know, but I know people have a lot of fear. Oh, what if I ruin it? Well, practice first on something else.
Yeah, and isn't that's the thing I think a lot of people overlook is you're focused on getting this piece finished, but there's mm-hmm. no rule that says you can't practice on scraps until you get the technique down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just get some cheap cloth and cut a form, a circle or a heart or whatever, and practice. And
mm-hmm. Or a scrap cut off piece yep. of canvas. If you yeah. really want to use the canvas, then cut off a scrap and give it a go, you know.
Yeah, nobody says you can't do that.
Yeah, and it's probably because then you get all your nervous jitters out of the way.
Right.
And you figure out and you fumble around and, oh, that didn't work. Well, no big deal. I didn't ruin it because it's scrap, you know.
Right. Glue on the table, glue on your pants.
Jeez. Yeah. Let's hope not, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you drop glue on your pants one time and then you pay attention. But
hopefully not hot glue.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
Keep that over the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she even says that, like, if you buy one of those silicone baking mats, you cut off a bit off the edge for your for doing your pressing and stuff, and use the rest of the mat to put your glue gun and stuff on.
Mm.
Because, you know, the glue gun, it'll drip a little, but that it just peels right off. It doesn't stick.
Oh, okay.
So
this book sounds like it's just packed with little ideas.
Yeah, it's got lots and lots and lots of good stuff. How to handle the trim, how to make sure it doesn't fray, all the good things.
That's pretty cool. What's the name of the book again?
Yeah. The Needlepoint Ornament Finishing Book by Eleanor McNish. I sent you a link and the picture of the cover.
Yep. I will put the link in the notes for the show.
Yeah.
Just an Etsy PDF download. It was like $12 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. PDF download.
Yep. So there you go. Save money on the book, spend money on glue gun and... That's interesting that...
She says her glue gun was a $5 glue gun from Hobby Lobby.
Okay. But it's interesting that she's saying be careful which glue sticks to buy. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She says not all glue sticks are made the same. She tells you what brand to buy.
Ah.
And I guess also using that silicone or the parchment paper, you know those glue stick stringies? Mm-hmm. It helps you not have glue stick stringies.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because I'd have just gone and bought glue sticks.
Just... Right. Yeah, me too. It's like, whatever. Apparently there's a difference, which I mean, that's not surprising, right? But you just don't think about it.
Right. Well, that sounds like a good one to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was, I was like, awesome. Thank you, Cindy Baldwin.
Yes. Cindy to the rescue. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So I was, we just had last week, last Sunday, and don't miss it, Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor, was the guest.
Yes.
And it got me thinking, favorite designers. Because, you know, and this is so, it's so weird. I own several Karen Kluba designs.
Mm-hmm.
She is, I think, without question, my favorite cross-stitch designer. So versatile. So, you know, creative, original, the whole bit.
She has so many things.
I've never
huge variety.
Yeah.
Too.
And I've never kitted one up, never stitched one.
Oh,
I don't understand that. And I think a lot of it is just, doing stuff for Fiber Talk. I never get to it. Like we have to start a sal just so that I'll stitch one, but her stuff is, she just put out a bunch of new things that were going to be at the, Galleria show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so for cross stitch probably, and I'm talking about original work, you know, people who do original work, because for reproduction samplers, you know, that's a different kettle of fish there.
Right. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah. But for original work, she's my, definitely my favorite. And it makes, every time I say that, it makes, you know, well, then why haven't you stitched five of them? Well, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. They're so pretty. I like the book. You collect the books, right?
Yep. So it's you know.
I have three. Yeah. I've got the Emily Monroe, and it's the one that's like the quilt squares, and it kind of looks primitive country-ish. Okay. And then I've got the Dreaming of Tulips, and then I've got, I think it's called Flower Frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have three.
All Karen's.
Yes.
Those are your three.
Mm-hmm. Which I just bought, I think, last summer.
Okay. See, I have the...
my needlework store.
Yeah. The Sunrise and Sunset are my two.
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty.
Yeah. Those two. Yep. And then her Seasonal Quakers.
Yeah. Those are pretty. I like those.
Yeah. Those are spectacular. Well, that was the first place I ran into Karen, was Donna, who works at Welcome Stitchery, which is the store near me. The first time I saw one of the Quaker, it was the Winter Quaker, up on the wall. Like, who stitched that and who designed that? And, and it was, you know, Donna. Well, I did. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Because they're just beautiful. But that's Karen, you know, that's what is so versatile. And when it comes to cross stitch, of that kind of thing, then she's definitely my favorite. And then close behind that is Krista West and Avlia, but for very different reason. And, you know, I say close behind because almost so different that it's almost like one and one A. Because though that Mediterranean look with the colorways just so appeals to me.
Right.
And any of them, I don't even have a favorite there. To me, it's just like, it doesn't matter, you know, any of those designs. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen she has all those state maps too?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she has, it goes from samplers to state maps to
Karen,
cute Halloween stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, that's the thing with her. Like if and of course people can't go to Nashville, but when you walk into her room in Nashville, you know, some people will have like real nice displays.
Mm-hmm.
Karen has such a wide range of designs that I'm sure she can't even show them all anymore. There's just not room.
Yeah.
But you just go in there and it's just one after another on the walls, on the tables, everywhere. Just everything you can imagine, just when you think you've seen and you can recognize, and this is what it is about Karen. Once you think, oh, I know a Karen Kluba design, and then you go over here, who did that one? Well, she did that one too.
Yeah.
There's no rut, you know?
No, she looks like lots of different designers. And that Christmas quilts.
Yes.
The Christmas quilt, I have that on my wish list. Like, oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
And then she has those smaller winter, spring, summer, fall ones that are the, like the pot with the flower coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're a little bit smaller. I love those.
Yeah.
I just love them all. I mean.
Yeah. And most of her stuff is big. Though she has been doing some smaller stuff, but most of it is quite large. But it's just beautiful. Yeah. Yep, really enjoy her. So yeah, that's where I, you know, if you say cross stitch to me, that's where I'm at. Karen and Krista.
But you can even take like something from a bigger one. Just take a portion of it and make something smaller.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
So you can make a small out of a large.
Yep. Take the center out or some corner or something, yes.
Mm-hmm. Or some of them, they just have so many motifs that you just pick one.
Yep.
That works for what you want to do.
So you have a cross stitch, your favorite cross stitch designer?
Oh geez. I loved Paula Vaughn and still love her for years. because it combines cross stitch and quilts.
Oh.
And for years I couldn't afford to quilt. You know, it's expensive. And I also didn't have room to leave my sewing machine set up anywhere. So when I found this Quilt for All Seasons book, which way back when I first started cross stitching, and I bought it and started right away. I just love them so much. But I still do lots of other, I don't know, but if I really have like a super favorite, it's her.
Okay.
I just love her stuff.
I don't even know her. Paula Vaughn, huh?
Paula Vaughn. Remember the quilts? The cross stitch that shows the quilts, and you were wondering if she was still around, and she's a painter.
Yes. Okay. Now mm-hmm. I remember. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I showed you the one, yep. The one that I showed was the one where the dresses were hanging on the wardrobe.
Yes.
And it had the sewing machine.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't show a picture of the quilts. I can send you a picture of some of my quilts.
Yes. I'd like to see. Yeah. Okay. All right. I remember now. Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. I can see that. Yeah. I can see why you like that.
And I'm still working on the quilts. I'm on the August one. And I'm dropping things. I'm on the August one, and I've just got a little bit of backstitch left, and I should get on that during, I'm doing this witchy stitchy thing, yep. where you have to stitch at least half an hour every day and post your before and after picture.
Oh.
And, but you can't, it's too late to start. So sorry, you didn't join. You can't join now. So there's no point in me telling you more about it. So
I never keep up with those things, so I don't even try.
I can stitch at least a half hour every day. Yeah. I mean, I do anyway, so I might as well join in with something, you know. And I got my mom involved.
Oh, okay.
So I've got her. I'm like, you know, I've been trying. She's been interested, and she's kind of starting back up slowly. But now I've got her doing this, so now she's doing it every day. And I text her, "Did you post your stitching yet today?" And she's starting to really get into it. She's like, "This is fun." And other people are liking and commenting on her stuff. So, yeah.
All right.
I'm getting her back into it.
All right. I have to start following your mom.
Yeah. Sandra Copaz.
Okay. I have to put her on the list then. All right.
Yeah. So she just, I mean, she's had an Instagram and a Facebook for a while, mainly just to look at my pictures. And then Facebook, we have a family group. But, she just started posting because she said she wasn't sure how, so I had to help her post. Sorry, Mom. Didn't mean to tell on you.
Oh, I got to learn somehow.
Now. She's going to be a pro. I told her, I said, by the end of October, you're going to be a pro at posting.
Well, I'll have to follow her now. Okay. Yep.
Yep.
So, okay, so your first counted canvas piece. But I know you've poked around. So do you have a favorite counted canvas person? Karen Dudzinski, because that's the only one I've done.
But I do like Debbie Rowley, like all of her designs, because I've looked through the years, because you know, I've been listening to you for the whole time. And I do like the Debbie Rowley a lot. And then there's a couple others, especially the ones that do that mystery needlepoint retreat.
Yes.
I've looked at all of them and I like all their stuff. Like, and I really like those, the ones that look like quilt blocks that are
Nancy's Needle. Needles.
Is it Nancy's Needle?
I don't know. Is it? I think it is.
They look like the quilt.
Yeah.
And everybody, and all you do basically is just what's those straight stitches that go in the squares? What are they called?
Well, I forget what it's a slanted stitch. If I'm thinking, I forget what it's called.
Oh, I've got a pattern. So one of my needlepoint ladies at my place, I was taking needlepoint. She was getting rid of some stuff that she wasn't going to do, and I got a couple of those.
Okay.
And I haven't started them, but they look like quilts.
Yeah.
And then you use the variegated floss and make it look fancy and.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's, I hate when I can't remember. I think it's Nancy's Needle. I think that's what it is.
Sounds familiar.
We're not really helping people by not knowing.
Oh, I know, right? It's because we're saying stuff on the go and we're like.
So, yeah. Yeah, those, the ones, if it's the ones I'm thinking about, Yeah, those are beautiful pieces and mindless stitching too. Just nothing.
Nancy's needle.
Yeah, Nancy's needle. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You can just sit and just stitch those and let your mind go. And
mm-hmm.
they're marvelous for that. And you end up, when you're all done, a beautiful piece. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny how it seems like most of the things that I really like all have some sort of like a quilt base. Isn't that strange? Yeah. Just kind of, the cross stitch I like had quilts in it. Then I started quilting. And then even some of the, like there's shapes and quilts and I like the Nancy's needle. And those are all kind of quilt blocks
mm-hmm.
that have been done in thread.
Yeah. Converted, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's her work I really like. I've done two of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've done because they're fun. There's nothing difficult about them at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just count, it's the same stitch all the time. But what also is fun is manipulating the variegated thread.
Right.
To create the color change patterns that you want. And so that, to me, that's fun. But the real plus is the just the mindless, just sit there and just go. And,
right.
You know, make
especially
sure.
Especially if you're doing rows or something. But once you know, like I'm going here to here and I'm just doing the same thing, you just go, go, go.
Yep. And that's so relaxing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No, I don't know how many of those I have. I went on a spree at one point, bought a whole stack of them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, they're just nice.
I was gifted a couple, so
okay.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Haven't done them yet, but they're in the pile with many, many, many other things.
Yeah. See, those are really great because it's single strand and you just start and go. Yep. Beautiful mm-hmm. stuff. Yep.
And it looks like you can make them kind of what size you want. I mean, I guess you could do it on 18 point or you could do it, I guess Congress cloth is 22 or.
Yeah, you could do, yeah, either one.
Right. Yeah. And then I had a friend who gave me some of her stuff and I have these little small, kind of like maybe 6x6 pieces or 8x8 of this fabric that's really stiff, but it's tiny. And it's kind of, it's rolled, it's not folded. And I'm guessing that that's Congress cloth.
24 count. I think it's 24, 25. Yeah.
I don't know, but it's not folded and it's stiff and but it looks like.
Probably is.
But I guess I'm like, maybe this is Congress cloth. Cause I'm new to this. I don't know. So, I'm like, I don't know. What is it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I've got some small pieces that I could play with sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, see, for me...
I could use them for an ornament. I could practice doing a finish.
There you go. You got the book. Get on it. What's your holdup?
I don't know. I've got to go to Home Depot today and buy stuff to make stretcher bars and stuff. So.
Okay.
I'm busy doing other kinds of woodwork and preparing for needlework by doing woodwork.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it's needlepoint is Debbie, obviously. Always been a fan of Debbie's stuff. I just love the way she puts things together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, large ones or small ones, whatever it is, always have. Just something about her. And then right there next to her is Gay Ann Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't, like for Gay Ann, like I have no interest in the Queens, you know, that.
Oh my gosh. I looked at those online. So I went online and I typed in like her hearts and stuff.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see all of what she's done. And holy smokes, those queens are amazing. And even so now I know what they're talking about with the hearts where it looks like they're missing their head and it's the bodice.
Yes.
Those are beautiful. Oh my.
Yeah. Those are, those queens are spectacular there.
Yeah. And the faces are so delicate.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I have not seen such delicate faces. Oh, they're just amazing.
Nobody does needlepoint faces anywhere close to her, and I'm not even sure that even in cross stitch that anybody can do.
No, like, not I've never
no,
not
no
faces are always chunky and clunky.
Yep.
And it's cross stitch and delicate, the shading on the cheeks, the yep. slope of the face, the lips. It just.
She has a knack.
Oh my goodness. Yep. There yep. were a couple of those. I was like, wow, it's the most delicate. It looks like a porcelain doll.
Yep.
Like perfect.
Yeah. She's,
yeah.
I don't think anybody gets anywhere close to that. No, I haven't seen yeah. it. Maybe somebody does, but I haven't seen it.
I know. Sometimes, so on those Mirabilias, some people do the faces one over one instead of over two.
Mm-hmm.
So they do make the face, it makes the face more refined. And those can get delicate looking. I've seen a couple where they do the face one over one.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference on the face. I mean, Mirabilia, the faces look good anyway, but when I've seen the one over one faces, that takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah. Yeah. I've not seen those. Yeah. I always feel like the Mirabilia ones are pretty good, but kind of angular and pointy and, you know, it doesn't quite do it for me, but that isn't the object of the Mirabilias anyway. It's, you know, you just.
Right.
It's pretty much got to get close to the face and get the dress to that's the
yeah, it's all about the flowing of the dress right. and the beads yeah. and which kind of it's similar to kind of some of the Paula Vons with the curtains and stuff and how she makes things flow.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. But I've never gotten a Mirabilia chart so and I've never looked in the and I don't know if in the chart if it has like a 1/1 face charted or if people just convert it on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no
idea.
I
don't know.
Yeah. Never even looked at one. I looked at the pictures of the finished pieces. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful and I like them, but I'm not going to stitch them. There's lots of stuff that I like a lot.
Yeah.
And it's all super cute and I like everything they do, but I'll pick and choose my very, very favorite ones because I'm not going to make all of it.
Right.
Except for the Paula Vaughn. See, that's why she's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah.
I mean, I've made lots of other Paula Vons. I have a couple other ones up in my sewing room that, yeah, so.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that Gay-Ann has the way. But it for her, even her geometric stuff is spectacular. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those two, Debbie and Gay-Ann, for me, are really, and now since discovering Karen Dudzinski and her work, she's now really caught my eye too. Because yeah. I love Connie Canvas stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just really enjoy all of it, and it's not hard for me to find stuff I like. And
yeah, see, I really like a lot of it too, and I like all of the. I like the geometric structure and stuff yeah. of all of it.
Yeah.
But these ones, there was something about them that they're super detailed, but yet still balanced and geometric. And
mm-hmm.
that I really like, I remember when I saw them, I was like, oh my gosh, I paused the video. I looked it up. I was in love.
Yeah.
And I kept telling them, I'm like, no, you don't need another project. Then you have Karen, to buy stretcher bars. And
yeah. Karen is very good. Yeah. Well, see, that's it frustrates me because I don't think Connie Canvas work gets the attention it should.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm just not connected, but I think I have a pretty good sense and I just don't think it gets, because there's a ton of very, very talented Connie Canvas people out there mm-hmm. that really do original creative stuff. You know, we could sit and gush over a whole bunch of them in a day.
Mm-hmm.
There really are. And I just don't think they get enough attention.
Maybe people think it's harder than what it is. Because it looks complicated. But when you take it step by step, it's easy.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, it's like, oh my gosh, it looks so complicated. It's crazy. I could never do that. But it's when you break down each section one step at a time, the way she steps you through it, it's easy.
Right. Yeah, I've not run into anything. Yeah, I've not run into anything that is difficult. I mean, even
the only thing that's tricky for people is knowing how to do a Jessica and remembering to go under, because a lot of people don't go. And then a lot of times, the diagrams that show the stitch, I think it's hard to get the diagram to show how to go under right. So a lot of the diagrams don't show it.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to go under, but the diagram is not showing it going under.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, instructions, some designs and that whole group probably suffer a bit from, shaky instructions, but, well, yeah, once you learn those stitches, you know, just do them and there's nothing tough.
But like this brocade, when you look at it, it's like, oh my gosh, it looks so crazy and complicated. It is four very simple steps, just boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
And one thing that I did, so layer three, you're going through holes that have already been gone through twice. So you're going through holes for a third time. And I switched down to a 26 or 28 inch needle, and it's making it much easier. I was having trouble shoving the needle through a hole that already has two strands, two or three strands of thread going through it, you know?
Stretched and, all out of whack.
Yeah, you just go down to a smaller needle, and I'm using this Diamante stuff, so it's real fine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that made it a ton easier, because at first it was like I was trying to shove it through and it was being difficult. You just have to go down to a smaller needle.
Yeah. Okay. So well, there's a tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot to tell that.
No, Khan Canvas needs to get more attention. It really does. There's so much out there, and so many different stitches you get to use, so many different threads you get to use, and variations on stitches and texture and all the things that you look for. And on top of that, when you do these things, you do a stitch, you cover a lot of ground. They can go pretty fast and get things done. Yeah. Yeah. Big fan.
Yeah. I'm really liking it a lot. I like this better than doing on the painted canvas. Like a lot. Not only because it's cheaper, because painted canvas is expensive, but I like doing all these fancy stitches. And the weaving, how you make the stitches weave on each other.
Yeah.
And the layering, how you do like this cross stitch thing. And then you put another cross stitch on top of it. And it just adds a tiny little extra something that you're like, wow, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Converted.
Yeah. You don't get bored. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not at all. No, you don't.
No.
No. And that's, you know, painted canvas. I mean, what stops most people is the upfront expense. But
well, I mean, to do a small ornament just to buy the canvas is $45 or $50.
Right.
Then you have to buy the thread. Then you have to get it finished. If you don't finish it yourself, holy smokes, $150 for a little ornament? No. That's not happening in my house.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know about other people's houses, but in my house, mm-mm.
And for some people, that's, you know, that's needlepoint. That's what they do. That's what they like. And
I know I'm being opinionated, but that's my.
It's all right. It's all right.
That's my opinion for myself and my house.
And it does. I mean, yeah, the upfront cost is healthy. But, you know, I've said it 1,000 times, the people who can really work a painted canvas is amazing.
I've seen some beautiful stuff, but I just can't justify the cost. I just can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's there. There's no question about that. But there's a whole world of people that just do it all the time and love it. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And I mean, yeah. I'm not a shoe person. I'm not a handbag person, you know. So for a lot of people, that's their shoe expense, their handbag expense. Yeah. You know, it's they see it the same way. And I, you know, I'm not a shoer. I wear the same shoes for 3 seasons in a row as long as they're not falling apart. I trade them out, you know. I wear 2 pairs of shoes every season.
Yeah. For me, most of the vast majority of the painted canvases just don't appeal, because they're they're not designed for me. They're not designed for males, you know. So I already I'm, you know, if you just set costs aside, I just don't find very many at all that appeal to me. And that's where design wise, that's where Cotton Canvas, you know, I can find hundreds of them that I like because that fits me better. But that's just, you know, everybody has their own thing.
And then if you don't love the colors on the painted canvas, then you have to solidly cover it.
Yes.
So if you're going to solidly cover something, do a counted that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They are beautiful. And I understand that they paint them in a specific way to make color placement very obvious. So you're not guessing. And, you know, I can't imagine trying to paint one of those. That's painstaking, you know?
Right. Well, that's the, you know, that's just it. They cost, but if you, once you talk to a painted canvas designer and learn what goes into them, you realize that they are, in relative terms, not all that expensive.
Right.
Because of what has to go into them.
Right. Because I know you've had some on in the past. And they talk about, you know, the detailed. And even if they send it to a service, there's still some person. It's not a computer or a machine. There's a person sitting there painstakingly painting and making sure each line is, like, covered just the way it should be. And
You can get machine printed canvases, and I've done a couple of those, and no thanks.
Yeah, you guess. I did one of those little, it's like an eyeglass case, but I was using it as like a case for scissors and stuff that's pre-sewn together. It's like a little kit, and it's pre, you know, it's a painted canvas kit, and it costs like $10-$12. It's real cheap. And it was pre-printed on, you know, by a machine. And you can see where you have to guess, okay, am I doing that section in this color? Or am I doing it in that color? And you have to kind of do it. And, oh, that doesn't look right. So you have to take it out. And so I see the difference, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's a huge difference. I mean, that's where stitch-painted, hand-painted canvases that are done right eliminate all of that. And, it's a huge difference, and you get cleaner lines, everything. Yeah. It's
right.
But, you know, there's thousands of people every day stitching on those unpainted canvas and just love it. And, it's beautiful stuff. Yeah. Not trashing it. Just not for me.
No. It's not for me. I think it's fabulous, but
Give me a chart. I'll go at it. Yep. All right.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Yes, we're done.
Okay. Have we been talking for a while?
We've been talking for a while. Yes. So we're finished. Sunday's guest, Eileen Bennett of the Sampler House. Now, Eileen came to us because Wednesday show a couple weeks ago, we had a giveaway. Somebody who was de-stashing. And we had a giveaway, and I forget what the chart was, but it was we ended up in the show talking about Eileen Bennett,
right?
And her card was in the kit or in the chart bag, so I grabbed the card, sent the winner the chart, and contacted Eileen, and so she's our guest.
Oh,
yes.
I see here
several books. Half dozen books, reproduction, samplers, original samplers, some black work, the whole bit. So,
right. And I have, that's the one in my file here.
These are the sounds of Jennifer rifling through her filing drawers.
Yes. Well, I went into my closet. I have the Catherine sampler by Eileen Bennett. That's the one I sent you the picture.
Yes.
That a friend of mine, and in her instruction thingies, it said it was for a teaching class.
Oh.
Only for class purposes and not available commercially. Mm-hmm. But a friend of mine, she had the kit. I guess I don't know how she got the kit, but maybe she had signed up for the class and didn't start it. I don't know, but she gave it to me because she said she wasn't going to do it. And so I've started it. And it has Montenegrin stitch in it.
There we go.
Which, we go. Like, I get to try now.
Well, that's the thing in the research for Eileen, is she has samplers that she's designed that are challenging. And then, I think she just describes them as some that are just relaxing.
And right.
So I haven't recorded with her yet, but we'll get to explore just what she means by that. And Montenegrin stitch, not relaxing. No.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, this is a Catherine of Aragon. And she has a timeline. She has a whole history in here of Catherine of Aragon. Yeah. And yeah,
she's quite a history buff, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep. No, Montenegrin. Wow. Montenegrin, not relaxing. No.
No. I haven't gotten there yet. No. But but hey, I'll have to. She does like the long arm cross stitch, the double back stitch with bars, which is really cool because it on the back side it looks the same but kind of reversed. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've started on it. So then I'll have to work on it.
Yeah. There you go. So that's Sunday. Eileen Bennett will join us Sunday. That's going to be fun. Yep.
Nice.
Going to be a good one. Yep.
That's awesome.
All right. We got to quit. That's it.
Oh, okay.
So join us tonight for Gay Ann Rogers to see the new design, and join us Sunday for the Meditative Stitch Hour.
Yep. And the Eileen Bennett
podcast. Yep.
Is the audio thing that happens.
So many things. All right. Thanks for listening.
I know. Bye.